Yesterday's message by Chris, the first point he mentioned in Romans 15 there was Paul boldly writing because of the grace of God. And so I was thinking of this prayer of boldness here, which is such an awesome prayer in Acts chapter 4. And we know the day of Pentecost occurred, and we know that 3,000 people were added to the church. And then we move into chapter 3. We have Peter and John going into the temple to pray, and we see the early church meeting in the temple yet at that point. And going in to pray, and there is this man, lame since birth, at the beautiful gate, begging, and Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have for you, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And he stood up and walked and started leaping around, and of course they were in Solomon's porch and at that point then, and they all came and started to worship Peter and John, kind of. And he says, "Oh, no, 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 this is in the name of Jesus Christ." And so then there, some of the Jews and some of the temple guards and so forth started coming onto the scene. And Peter gives another sermon there, and it says, and then we had 5,000 people grew to that number at that point. And so the very next day then, the chief priests and all his family and those guys, Caiaphas and Alexander and so forth, they gathered together with the Sanhedrin, and they were trying to figure out what to do with this. And so they called him in, and they tried to trap Peter by trying to get him to say something that would cause them to really have a legal position against him for blasphemy. But he just said, like, "In the name of Jesus Christ," and so forth. And so they didn't know what to do because the man was running around there. They couldn't deny that he'd been healed. People were following that. So they sternly warned them to preach no more in the name of Jesus Christ. And then the next thing we have here in the scriptures, and this so reminds me of when we're in ministry, and particularly in difficulties where people come against us, whether it's a government or whoever is coming against us, but here we see the persecution coming against the early church, and yet, you know, we just had 5,000 people, so the Lord is working, and the Holy Spirit is moving, and that early church is just growing by leaps and bounds. And so we see here then in verse 21 of chapter 4, "So when they," these are the chief priests and the Sanhedrin guys, "had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they didn't go and sign petitions. They didn't go and get placards. They didn't jump on an airplane," which they wouldn't have had in those days anyway. It'd be kind of hard to jump on an airplane. "But they didn't jump on a ship and leave the country. Here's what they did. They went to their own companions." It's good to have companions if the companions are like-minded and in Christ. "So they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God." So when the flood storm comes in like a flood, what do? We raise our voices to God, don't we? We should. Prayer. Master builder, build on prayer. We got to have prayer as our foundation, one of the foundation blocks, don't we? Lord, here's a great address. "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." So we see every prayer should have an address, just like every letter that you want to send needs to have a clear address on it if you want it to get to where you want it to go. And of course, we all know all this. It's all review stuff. But then we read on verse 25, "And now he brings a biblical reference into his prayer, which is always good to stand on the promises of God in prayer. David has said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles.'" So we see here, it's your holy service, Jesus, whom you anointed, and to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So he's standing on the promises of God there. God determined the crucifixion before the foundation of the world. This was all done in accordance with his will, and it was not the people. It was the Gentiles and the Herod and the Pontius Pilate who were instruments in this, but it was basically the plan of God. And verse 29, "Now, Lord, look on their threats, on the threats of the government, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak in your word." And one thing I didn't mention, which I should have, is that when they told them not to speak anymore. They will say then whether it is right for us to honor you or not, but we cannot but speak in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we see here then that they prayed and they say, grant to your servants that the resistance goes away. They didn't pray that. They said, grant to your servants that with all boldness, they may truly speak your word. Boldness. We need boldness. Yeah, you can pray against your enemies. That's good. But, you know, not the prayer of, well, if my enemies don't go away, I'm not going to open my mouth. No. And it says what? In just a minute, we'll see the answer to that prayer. Grant your servants with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your servant, holy servant Jesus. And now here's the answer in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went home happily ever after. Is that what it says? No. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with all boldness. I think one of the things that speaks to me in this passage is we all want to be filled with the Spirit. But what do we want to be filled with the Spirit for? We want to be filled with the Spirit for the power to do what He has for us to do. So they're filled with the Spirit and they proclaim the gospel exactly what the government said not to do. So this is amazing. They didn't pray for compromise. They didn't pray that ease up a little bit, Lord, and then once it eases up a little bit, we'll go out and start doing a little quiet witnessing on the corner. But they prayed for boldness. Father, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for all the prayers in your word, Lord. And Lord, we pray for boldness to do your will, not boldness to do anything apart from you. And so, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to bow our hearts together here this morning. And as we begin, Lord, we just want to pray in our little group and as you lead us, Holy Spirit, and pray for the conference and pray for the speakers and pray for the workshop sessions, Lord, today, a full day, and to pray for the island of Cyprus, to pray for the whole Middle East, and to pray for the whole world, Lord, really, 7+ billion people. You love every one of them, created in your image, and yet most of them are far from you, and many of them are locked into other deceptive religions and cults and so forth, Lord. But you hear us, and you're here, and so, Lord, answer the prayers that are made. We have, this is the confidence that we have in you. If we ask anything according to your will, you hear us, and we know that if you hear us, you will grant us the petitions that we have asked. And so, Lord, may we pray as led by the Spirit, and that will be in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, lead us now. Amen. Mm-hmm.